As a society, we place some sort of value upon almost everything we see around us, and indeed on everything that we own. Your property has a value. Your car has a value. The money in your bank account has a value. If you own a business, there's a value placed on it as well. Because you see, in the eyes of this world, many things, if not all things, have some type of monetary value. Of course, that value will differ according to the size of the particular asset that we have. The bigger the house, then it goes that the bigger the value. And as a result, what we have, what we possess, whether it be much or whether it be little, it's assessed according to its value in the eyes of this world. However, in the eyes of Almighty God, such possessions are viewed as insignificant and indeed as worthless. Because in the Word of God, we are brought face to face with what is really important and what is truly our greatest asset. And it's not our homes. It's not our houses. It's not our money. It's not our cars. It's not our jobs. Rather, it is our soul. That soul that rests within the heart of every man and woman, young person, boy and girl, that is our most valuable asset. We have a soul that will live forever. It's immortal. It will never die. And when this world crumbles and the stars fall out of their orbit, your soul and mine will live on in eternity. It is timeless, it is dateless, it is measureless. Your soul will exist forever. And it will exist either in God's heaven or in God's hell. In our materialistic society, the things of this world are seen as being all important. Little thought is given to the things of eternity and the things of God. But you see, folks, the life that we now live in our bodies, it's not the only life. There is a life to come. There is something after this life. Because when our last breath is taken, and we've paid our last visit to the doctor, and the funeral preparations are made, and our coffin is lowered into the ground, and when ashes to ashes and dust to dust has been pronounced over our open grave, we will have a soul that will continue to live on. And that is why the question is asked here by the Saviour in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 36. What shall it profit a man? Any man, any woman, any young person, any older person, what shall it profit them if they gain the whole world and yet lose their own soul? This is a question that comes from the lips of the Saviour. And it is as if God steps into this meeting tonight and asks you who are still in your sin, He asks you this question. What would it be to you if you could gain all this world, and even if you aspire to such? And yet at the end of it all, lose your soul in a lost sinner's hell forevermore. As we come to consider this verse, I want us to consider what is our most valuable asset. It is our soul. The greatest thing that you or I can ever possess or do possess, it's that soul which lives within us. It's our most valuable asset. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the tremendous worth of your soul. The tremendous worth of your soul. Because you see, tonight there is a tremendous worth placed on your soul. That's why we've called it your most valuable asset. It's more valuable than anything you have, anything you possess, your business, your job, your money, whatever. Let's consider some ways in which we see the tremendous worth of our soul. We see it, first of all, in its designer. You see, the value of anything can often be determined by its designer. Who made it? Who built it? Who put it together? You walk into an art gallery, you'll see there paintings of immense value. Some worth hundreds of pounds and some worth thousands of pounds. You think of the fashion retailers today. They put a great play on the designer labels, as they're called. Those items of clothing that have been designed by some individual, and their value is greater than another piece of clothing. Where does the value of those items lie? Where does the value of that painting lie? Where does the value of that item of clothing lie? It lies in its designer. Who made it? Who painted the painting? Who designed the clothes? Do you know, in a far greater way, when we come to consider the tremendous worth of our soul, its value also lies in its designer. You see, we were created by God. We are not the accident of humanity. God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. We're created in the very image of God. Indeed, we are the crowning work of God's creation. The very epitome of creation. And that's what makes your soul and mind so valuable. Because it was created by Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. Its value lies in its designer, but its value also lies in its demand. Because, you know, no matter how expensive a thing may be, if there's no demand for it, if nobody wants it, then really it is worthless. It doesn't matter how expensive that painting is. If nobody wants to buy it, well then it really is worthless. But there is a great demand tonight in your soul. Hence its value. And what a price was paid to redeem the soul of the sinner from sin. It's the price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. Come with me in your mind's eye for a moment to the slopes of Mount Calvary. There see the agony and the sorrow and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God, who of necessity became the Son of Man, in order to be the sinner's substitute for sin and to die for sin. As we were thinking this morning, let's think again, consider the pain and the anguish that Christ endured as on the cross during those hours of darkness when the rod of God's wrath was lifted up for sin and when it fell on his lovely Son. When the Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ, paid the price and the penalty for sin. A price we could never pay. All of our goodness, all of our righteousnesses, all of our good living was never enough. It could never pay the price for sin. It could never reconcile the creature Creator. Lord Jesus Christ had to come, die, give his life, shed his precious blood, that we might be saved. Do you not see the immense value that there is in your soul? Do you not realize just what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and mind from sin? God emptied heaven. God gave his Son, his only begotten Son, his well-beloved Son, who endured such wrath and shame in order to purchase our soul from sin. Your soul is worth more than corruptible things, more than money can buy. Your soul cost Jesus Christ the death, his death on the cross. And yet if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, you're selling your soul cheaply to the world, to the devil. You're trading the things of this world for the things of God. You're exchanging all the riches and the pleasures that God has in store for you with the husks of this world. Oh, your soul meant so much to the Savior, cost him his life. What tremendous worth is placed therefore on your soul. He died that you might live. He endured hell on the cross that you might never go there. And oh, sinner, tonight that God would so open your eyes just to see the tremendous worth of your soul. Its worth also lies in its durability. Some items get more expensive with age. The longer they last, the greater the value. You walk into an antique shop, and you'll see items there that have been around for a very long time. And they have a greater value than other items. How long will our souls last? They'll last forever. They're immortal. They'll never die. In time your soul will live. In death your soul will live. In eternity, either in heaven or in hell, your soul will live. You see, hell is not a place of annihilation. The soul will be just as alive in hell as it is this very moment on earth. Luke's Gospel chapter 16 records that truth for us very clearly. The rich man, the man who had all of this world's wealth, the man who had everything this world had to offer, gained the whole world. But the sad reality is that he lost his soul in hell. And it says, in hell being in torments. He was as alive in hell as he was on earth. Are you just living for the moment? Are you thinking, well, if there is a hell, it will all be over. I'll die, I'll perish, I'll go out of existence. No, sinner, realize that your soul is immortal, will live forever. You need to realize the tremendous worth of your soul. You need to realize that you have a soul that will live forever. You need to think of the hereafter. You need to be prepared for death. You need to get right with God. You need to turn from your sin, leave your sin behind, and in simple faith you need to trust Christ to be your Savior. And realize the tremendous worth there is upon your soul. There's not only the tremendous worth of the soul, but I want you to see as well here the tragic waste of the soul. The tragic waste of the soul. At the end of verse 36 it says, and lose his own soul. Lose his own soul. What a waste. For any man, woman, young person, older person, to lose their soul. In this verse, there's a contrast brought before us. The world and the soul. Gain the world, yet lose your soul. Lose your soul in the sense of a being lost in hell. It is possible. It is possible for your immortal soul to be lost and to be damned in hell forevermore. Even if you could gain this whole world. And many have tried. And some have succeeded. To gain a little of this world. But there'll come a day it'll be all left behind. There'll come a day when all those things that they have amassed in this world will be of no value in the sight of Almighty God as they stand before God on that last judgment day. I don't care how much or how little of this world's goods you have. It matters not in the light of eternity just how much you have materially or financially. But I tell you, it does matter. It does matter that you may go from this place and die as you were in your sin and lose your soul in hell. What a tragic waste. A tragic waste. We consider exactly what we have in this world. We consider all that we can amass. And then when we consider all those things that we take with us from this world, there's only one thing we're left with. That's our soul. Whatever we have of this world's good, as we've said, one day it'll be left behind. And the only thing that we will take into God's eternity is our never-dying soul. What a waste it would be for anyone in this meeting tonight to lose their soul in hell. It is an irreplaceable loss. Because you see, tonight you can lose many things in this world, many of which can be replaced. In these difficult economic times, many people have lost their homes, lost their jobs, lost their businesses. You can lose your car in an accident and have it written off. All of these things can be replaced. You lose your soul in hell. Can never be replaced. It's an irreversible loss. Because you live your life in sin, you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and you go out of this world still rejecting Him, your immortal soul will be cast into hell. But on the day of judgment, you'll hear those awful words, "Depart from me." And in hell, there is no reversing of the situation. There's no second opportunity. There are many ways into hell, but there's not one way out of it. There's no hope beyond the grave. There's no second chance. As was told to the rich man in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, there is a great gulf fixed, and no man can pass. It's an irreversible loss. It's also an immeasurable loss. There is no loss like the loss of your soul. To lose your wealth, it's much. To lose your health, it's more, but to lose your soul, well, that's such a loss that nothing can restore. The words of the chorus of the little hymn ask the question, if you counted the cost. If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that your soul may be lost. Have you counted the cost? So many people today, they're counting the cost of being a Christian. What would they have to give up if they gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ? I tell you, whatever it is, whatever you would have to give up, whether it be a relationship or whatever else, that you would have to give up to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I tell you, it's not worth losing your soul in hell over. The old saying, it's so true, that our friends might laugh us into hell, they'll never laugh us out. And perhaps there's something tonight and it's holding you back from giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Oh, you fear that if you were to get saved tonight, you would have to get rid of that. You would have to be done with that. And you're counting the cost of being a Christian. Oh, listen tonight. Stop counting the cost. Because the reality is there is no cost. But you know what? There is a cost of not being a Christian. And it's the cost of your soul in hell. It is an inexcusable loss. Oh, tonight you don't have to lose your soul. Because the glorious message of the gospel is tonight, Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross of Calvary. He shed His precious blood that you might be saved. That you might never be lost. Tonight you come and trust the Lord. You come and be done with your sin. You give your heart over to Him tonight. I tell you, He'll do more with it than you ever can. You can walk away from this meeting scot-free. You can walk out of the doors of this church tonight on your way to heaven and to home. You can walk out of this place tonight with that assurance in your heart that it's well with your soul, come life or come death. I ask you the question again, as is asked there in verse 37. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you exchanging your soul for tonight? Whatever it is, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Get rid of it and be done with it. Could tonight come and trust Jesus Christ to be your Saviour. As we close our meeting tonight, we've noticed the tremendous worth of our soul. We've noticed the tragic waste of our soul. Finally, I want you to see the terrible warfare. The terrible warfare that there is for your soul. Because right now there is a battle raging. Perhaps as in previous nights, as you've listened to your need to be saved and you've battled against the Holy Spirit as He's been striving with you and convicting you, and you realize there's a battle going on in your heart tonight. You know you need to be saved. Yet the old devil, the sin in the world, and they'll all call for your soul. And they'll tell you about all those things you'll have to give up. The devil will come and remind you of all the pleasures of this world. And I don't dispute for one moment that there's pleasure in this world. There is. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. And the devil will tell you tonight, oh yes, you need to be saved. But not now. Leave it a little longer. Do you know the devil's great lie tonight? It's not that He'll tell you there is no heaven. It's not that the devil will come and tell you that there is no hell. The devil will come and tell you tonight there is no hurry. Now, you don't need to put through this just now. Live your life a wee bit more. Don't worry about those things now. You're young and well, live your life and keep living it. And then when you're ready to die, get right with God then. Oh, there's a battle raging in your heart tonight. And don't listen to the lie of the devil. Because there is a hurry. There is an urgency to this matter. Don't bank on tomorrow. Don't think you'll get another opportunity. For how do you know? How do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? We're not guaranteed tomorrow's dawn. We're not guaranteed that we'll lay our heads in our pillows tonight. We've made our plans, I'm sure, for this week that lies ahead. We might never see them fulfilled. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Sinner, there is a death to die. There is a judgment to face. There is an eternity to live. And where will you be? Where will you be in eternity? Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? Satan is bidding for your soul. And he offers you all the pleasures of this world. But at the end of it all, when you've lived your life in sin, all he has to offer to you is everlasting damnation in hell forevermore, and all the torments and all the pains. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he offers you peace, joy, and happiness. He offers you sins forgiven. Oh yes, you'll not be accepted by this world. You'll not be received the platitudes of this world for being a Christian. We know that too well. But at the end of it all, when all of our living is over, and it comes our time to die, he offers us the assurance of a home in heaven. One day we'll go to be with Christ, which is far better, and share in all that heaven has in store for us. Therefore, what will you decide? What will be your choice tonight? What will you do with the matter of your soul? Will you be saved? Or will you continue on being lost in your sin? Following the sinking of the Titanic, the White Star office in the city of Liverpool placed 2 large boards on either side of their entrance door. And people would gather, the relatives of those who were on the ship would gather. And they would wait to see what had happened to their loved ones who were on that ship that fateful night. On either side of the doors of that office, there were 2 large boards placed. On one of the boards, they printed the words, "No one to be saved." And then on the board on the other side of the door, they printed the words, "No one to be lost." And relatives would stand in eerie silence as each time a member of staff would come out, and a passenger's name would be written on a piece of card. And the staff member would show that piece of card clearly to all those who were gathered. And then they would go and place that name on either one of the boards, "No one to be lost," or "No one to be saved." Either that passenger was lost at sea, or they had been saved on that terrible night. I wonder tonight which board your name would be placed on. "No one to be saved." Are you saved? Are you right with God tonight? Are you ready for heaven? Are you prepared for death? Are you prepared to meet God? Or would your name have to go on that board, "No one to be lost"? Oh, whatever you do tonight, don't go from this meeting, don't go from this church to a lost sinner's hell. Come and be saved. Come and get right with God. Come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And do it now. For what shall it profit a man to gain this whole world, lose his own soul? In God's name tonight, sinner, don't lose your soul in hell. But rather come. Come and trust Jesus Christ. Come and be saved. Let's bow in prayer.